Here's the deal. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. It looks like Uncle Sam is just about to close the deal to up the taxpayer stake in Citigroup. Reports this morning say the government would switch some of its preferred shares in Citigroup to common shares. But this would only happen if the bank can convince private investors to do the same. The government's stake in Citigroup could end up being as much as 40%. Sources say the deal also requires the bank to agree to conditions, like switching up its board of directors. The government poured $45 billion into Citigroup last year. At the same time, Fannie Mae is looking for its handout. The government-backed mortgage company reported yesterday it lost nearly $60 billion last year. Now, for the first time, Fannie is tapping its federal line of credit. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Fannie Mae says it needs $15 billion in federal aid to stay afloat, and that's likely just the beginning. The government-backed mortgage company is expecting home prices to drop 12 to 18% in 2009. Fannie Mae and its brother Freddie Mac own or guarantee more than half of all U.S. mortgages. Freddie's in worse shape. It borrowed $14 billion last year and expects to tap $35 billion more. The money is there. The feds have set aside a $200 billion lifeline for each company. That's to guarantee they would never fail. Still, Fannie Mae has seen six straight quarters of losses. Its liabilities now exceed its assets. To borrow a term from real estate, Fannie is upside down, and it's not likely to right itself anytime soon. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Dow lost about 89 points yesterday, just over a percent to 71.82. The Nasdaq and S&P also closed in the red. European shares are lower this hour. It was a mixed day for markets in Asia. He's considered one of the most astute investors in the world. But stock in Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is down 20% for the year, 50% from its high in December 2007. The company releases earnings today. Tomorrow, Buffett releases his annual letter to shareholders. Rico Galliano looks at expectations for both Buffett's company and his reputation.
Some call him the Wizard of Omaha, but Berkshire Hathaway's earnings announcement could be a peek behind the curtain at the mere mortal named Warren Buffett.
I expect it's going to be a pretty dismal report.
That's Michael Yoshikami, president of YCM Net Advisors. Like most analysts, he predicts big losses, the result of the bad economy, and what some say were Buffett's bad investments.
There's two issues that he's being criticized. One is the capital value of assets he invests in, such as Bank of America stock. And then the second criticism is the derivative bets.
Buffett's derivative bets are that the S&P 500 will rise. He lost at least $2 billion on those bets last year. Still, Berkshire Hathaway stock has a five-star rating from Morningstar, and Yoshikami says Buffett's no-holds-barred shareholder letters still command respect.
They are really an admission of really what worked and what didn't work. And I think that candor is something that's so much lacking that we're actually sitting here waiting for the one corporate news release that we maybe actually can trust.
In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We've been mentioning the Marketplace Whiteboard all week. This is our series of online videos that breaks down the terms behind the fallout of the economic crisis. Our man at the whiteboard, senior editor Patty Hirsch, is with us now to answer some of the questions that have come in from listeners this week. Patty, I'm so used to seeing you at that whiteboard. Nice to have you in the studio for a change.
Well, it's very nice to be here. Thank you.
One of the most popular videos is the one about credit default swaps, and we happen to get a couple questions about this. The first one comes from Minneapolis, and this person asks, why offer collateral to get someone to buy insurance on investments? That doesn't happen anywhere else.
It's absolutely right. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Well, certainly not in our world. You know, if we're insuring a car or a house, you don't ask the insurance company to put up collateral. We just expect it to survive, right? In the credit default swap world, these guys that are buying insurance, they are essentially hedging. You know, if there is any problems in their portfolio, they want to hedge against it. And whenever they buy anything, they want to be hedged. And they might look at this person who's selling them insurance and say, I want to make sure that if there's any problems with you, I'm hedged against that, and therefore I want some collateral. And the guy who's selling him insurance is happy about that because he's also buying and selling insurance himself. He's hedging everything. So he understands that this person who he's selling insurance to wants to be hedged. He also wants to be hedged. So he says, okay, I'll put up a little collateral for you. That'll make you feel good. And, you know, it's a little bit of a sweetener to get you into my deal.
And then comes a company like AIG, which lost a lot of money because it couldn't live up to those commitments for credit default swaps. That brings us to this question from a listener in Florida that says, you know, with that and the fact that AIG had backed up a lot of banks with credit default swaps, aren't we paying twice for the same loss?
Well, we should probably go back and talk about what it was that initially got AIG into trouble. And that, again, is this collateral issue. You know, AIG has had this collateral that it had put up, and it had an agreement that said if its credit rating fell, then it would have to put up more collateral, that is to say, more cash. And that's exactly what happened. Whenever Lehman Brothers went into bankruptcy, there was a systemic failure or potential systemic failure. The rating agencies dropped the ratings on a number of financial services companies, including AIG. AIG then had to put up more money, and that was money that it didn't have.
So what you're saying is we may very well be paying more than twice.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Lots of questions we weren't able to get to, Patty, and we hope to have you back to do that. Senior editor Patty Hirsch, also known as our whiteboard guru. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Check out the whiteboard series at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.